G'day everyone and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. It's the Monday Mad Scramble ahead of a big week of finals action. We're here for the brand new Mazda BT50. With its class-leading design and more technology than ever before, the brand new Mazda BT50 is the complete package. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. And check back in for Xavier Ellis and Dill Buckley tomorrow and the OG 2-minute warning on Thursday. But for now, let's fire up the scramble. Well, it's finals time. Well, very nearly finals time as we get back into the mad scramble for another week. We're into that sort of last portion of the 2-week break before finals where you're just itching to watch some footy after so much build up. But we've got a great guest to add some analysis and insights from over in the Queensland hub as we try and make sense of what's going to happen. You'd likely recognise his work over a number of years at the West Australian before making the switch and continuing to star for AAP. I'm very pleased to welcome our guest in Shane Hope. How are you, Hopey?
Very good, Robbo. Thanks for having me on board. It's nice to be back in the West team for a few minutes.
Not a problem at all, mate. It's a pleasure to have you. Tell us what life is like in the Queensland hub at the moment. You're on the ground. You're around all the action. What's the latest and what's the vibe?
It's very sunny. The vibe is nice and warm. Excellent. It's a lot different to Victoria where the rest of us have come up from in the last few weeks. So, it's been good so far. We had 2 weeks in the quarantine bubble, or yep, the quarantine hub at the Mercure Resort, and then we're out and about now as pretty much normal working people in Queensland. So the majority of clubs are based here on the Gold Coast, which is good. We're out at the Bulldogs and Richmond today doing interviews and watching training. So pretty standard sort of work life, but it's good to be around the footy at this time of year.
Absolutely. Is there a hint of jealousy? I know you guys are working extremely hard over there, but is there a hint of jealousy from those that you've left behind in Victoria for this period?
Yeah, I don't think the missus is too happy, if that's what you're getting at.
That's exactly what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah, so, and a few mates have had some choice words when they've seen Instagram stories and that sort of thing when you're down the beach. But, I think there is a little bit of jealousy, so we've got to sort of tone down what's going on up here. So, it's been nice to get out and about and actually just go for a run along the beach and go to a bar or a coffee shop and that sort of thing, to be honest, because we haven't had it in Victoria for so long. Yeah. You kind of forget about it.
Absolutely. How the Tigers and the Dogs looking this morning?
Pretty good. The Tigers are looking just about as good as you possibly can at the moment. They've got very few injuries. Tom Lynch looked okay moving around, and Deon Presti is right to go, as is Shea Bolton as well. So pretty much a full squad for the Tigers, and the Bulldogs aren't far off it as well. Obviously, they've got to come from a bit further back, but they've got experience doing that, don't they? So both of those two sides looking pretty good heading into their week one finals.
Yeah, those two clubs just about sort of right where they want themselves. As you say, the Dogs have done it before, and then Richmond just know what to do at this time of year. Bit of news from up your way for the morning. The AFL announcing, always interesting to see who they're going to pick for some of the major awards and presentations on grand final day. Simon Black's going to be the Premiership Ambassador, which makes a lot of sense given he's one of Queensland's finest and did some of his best work in the finals environment. And then Byron Pickett's going to present the Norm Smith and Malcolm Blight, the Jock McCarr. What have you made of those ones, Hopi? And do you think Byron Pickett might just shirt front someone on the way up to presenting the medal on grand final day?
I wouldn't put it beyond him. He might run out at halftime and try and get a kick. But I think they're sort of limited this year, aren't they, in terms of who they can pick, because they need people that are in Queensland to be able to fill these roles rather than sometimes you've had, I think Dean Kemp was involved with West Coast a few years ago, and they try and pick and choose people that have strong links to the competing clubs in terms of presenting medals and premiership cups and that sort of thing. But Simon Black, great link to Brisbane, obviously, and given it's at the Gabba, he's a great ambassador for footy up here in Queensland. One of only six guys to win a premiership, Brownlow and Norm Smith as well. Mm. So he's got a fantastic record. Byron Pickett, as we mentioned, maybe not so nice a link to Brisbane, given he won his Norm Smith against the Lions.
Absolutely. But,
wonderful player. He was brilliant in that 2004 grand final. And Malcolm Blight lives up here, so I guess that's probably why he's got the nod, but he's a legend of the game and a great choice as well. So three massive names in footy and should all do a great job in those roles.
For sure. And another Gold Coast link in the other big news of the morning today. Harley Bennell confirming that he's finally done at AFL level. He's toyed with this, not really by choice, but he's toyed with this over the past few years. He had a brief resurgence for the D's this year, and then of course we know what happened off field a couple of weeks ago that might have put the final stamp on that decision. He confirmed it on Instagram this morning, his post, and I quote, "Best 10 years of my life. Thank you to everyone who was involved. It was an awesome ride." It certainly was an awesome ride. How do we remember Harley Bennell's career? Because the first sort of 4 or 5 years at the Gold Coast, he was putting up ridiculous numbers. He was such an exciting player. And then the drop-off, I mean, have we seen who can we think of that has had a similar drop-off from such a good first 4 or 5 years and then injuries and the like making him fall away? How do we sort of look back at Harley Bennell's career and assess it as a whole, Hopi?
Well, I don't think there's anyone that's been quite like him. It's a career of wasted opportunity, yeah, really, and opportunity that was also taken away from him. So a supreme talent taken so high in the draft, but off-field incidents and injuries, a lot of injuries. I think the report was recently, earlier this season, that he had 25 calf tears over his career. Yeah. So that's just ridiculous numbers. But the injuries and the off-field incidents have sort of combined to derail his career. So I guess physically, and in some ways mentally, he probably just wasn't up to it. But you look back at some of the stuff he did in those first few years, that game when Gold Coast beat Geelong, he had 27 touches and kicked 6 goals, three Brownlow votes that day. Mm-hmm. Just unbelievable. That was probably his best performance. He played 80-odd games in the 5 seasons. He could have been anything from there. And then we never saw the best of him after that, only 7 games in 5 years. But I think the fact that Melbourne even took a punt on him this year after what happened at Fremantle shows just how much talent and potential he had. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out again. And it's been a similar tale this year to what it has been over the last few. So really disappointing that we never saw the absolute best of him over an extended period. So, wasted opportunity, I guess, for everyone involved.
Yeah, he was just about the best story of that early Suns era. I mean, taking someone like Gary Ablett out of it, who we knew obviously what he could do and just continue to carry that team on his shoulders. But as far as the Suns, they didn't have much good news in those early years. Harley Bennell was the good news. Averaged 22 disposals and more than a goal a game through his first 5 seasons there. Not many guys running around with those kind of numbers. Did you get the sense from a Melbourne point of view that before this indiscretion, did you get the sense that there were some whispers that he was in line to go around again and they might squeeze one more out of him? Or do you think that they were probably going to call it quits regardless of the hub indiscretion a couple of weeks ago?
I'm not 100% sure. You've heard things going both ways, but I think it also came down that the decision probably wasn't quite made because the obviously the list sizes are still yet to be determined this year. So he's one of the guys, he got picked up in the preseason supplementary period. So he's the dead last guy on the list. So he may have been in line for the chop. He showed little glimpses of what he can do this year, but without really putting his foot down or putting his stamp on the Melbourne side. So I'm not sure where he stood for next year, but you would have liked to have seen him get one more chance, but he's had 101 more chances, hasn't he? So
yes.
I guess at some stage they've got to draw the line. So a disappointing finish, but I guess he leaves with some good memories from the early stages of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was that, you just reminded me, there was that one awkward moment earlier in the season where he was rested for that Essendon-Melbourne game that ended up getting postponed. So they didn't play that game. And then the week after, he still didn't come back into the team. So it was kind of a false resting, which was just one little chapter in the Harley Bennell story. Mate, I wanted to get into a little idea here called the finals barometers. The guys, the players for each of the 4 finals who potentially their teams live and die by, i.e. if they play well, their team's likely going to win. If they get shut down, they're an extremely big chance of going down. So wanted to get your thoughts and we'll provide a few of my own for each of these finals. So Port Geelong is where we start the final series. Who's your guy here? Is Hawkins the obvious answer given what he did to Port Adelaide when these teams last met?
Yeah, he's one of the obvious ones. I think Dangerfield's another obvious one that you go to as well, the All-Australian captain. He couldn't get a kick against Sydney last week. but he goes forward and wins them the match. So he's a potential match winner in different parts of the ground. So he probably should have had four goals against the Swans. There was one that got given to another player on the advantage. So he was pretty good the other week once he went forward. I think the ruck battle is also interesting with Reece Stanley coming back for Geelong. He's a key for them. But on the flip side, Robbie Gray, he's had a sneaky good year, and I think outside Adelaide, he probably hasn't got the attention he deserves this year. Mick Malthouse even wanted him to retire in a column that he wrote earlier this or only a few weeks ago. Yeah, but yeah, Robbie Gray's been brilliant at times this year, so if he fires for Port, I think they're a huge chance as well.
Yeah, I really like the Hawk here. He there's a real fresh memory of what he did up there in Queensland, just destroying Port Adelaide on, I think it was a Thursday night or a Friday night a few weeks ago. Kicked six, took seven contested marks, just absolutely towered up. It was not too dissimilar to the famous Zach Dawson, Anthony Rocker game, where it was just Tom Cleary was just getting ragdolled and manhandled by Tom Hawkins. One of the best individual games we've seen this season. So that can kind of work. Port Adelaide will certainly be hoping that works in their favour in terms of we know what he did so well last time. We've got plenty of time to plan for this final and plenty of time to make sure that it doesn't happen again. I just think, I mean, if you give Hawkins, say, four goals in this first final, it's hard to see how Geelong lose. If they can hold him to zero or even one, you'd probably like the home team there in Port Adelaide. Let's move to Brisbane and Richmond, mate. This is a bit of a similar story from last year's final series, I should say. Cold sweats is what Brisbane fans would wake up in the middle of the night thinking about what Dusty did to them in last year's final series. Is Dusty your one-word answer for this, or have you got someone else for me?
Dusty is the main man, but Lynch and Rewalt were the two earlier this season when these teams met. They kicked seven goals when the Tigers won in round 10. So those two are pretty crucial, I'd say, for the Tigers. They kicked 28 goals each this year. The majority of the scoring is coming from them. Obviously, there'd been so many of the Richmond small forwards have been crucial in previous years, but Lynch and Rewalt for mine. And I guess the flip side of that is also that Harris Andrews comes back in for Brisbane, and he's going to have to play a key role in keeping those two quiet as well for Brisbane. So, I'm going with the key forward matchup here.
Yeah. Where's your money for this game, Hopey? Because I think the Tigers are favourites with the bookies, but obviously Brisbane at home, know the conditions. If you had to have a small investment on this one, where are you heading right now?
I'd lean towards Richmond just because they've got the runs on the board against Brisbane. That record dates back a long period of time, and the majority of those games in the last 15 games, the majority aren't relevant, but the most recent ones, I think they've probably got a little bit of an edge on Brisbane, and obviously Brisbane kicked themselves out of a couple of those games as well. But I think the Tigers with the runs on the board are probably where I'd be leaning towards at the moment. And they're in good nick at the moment as well, aren't they? Not that Brisbane aren't, and also playing on their home ground, Brisbane. But I think the Tigers, for me, probably just have that slight edge at this point in time.
Yeah, certainly kicked themselves out of that qualifying final last year. The Lions 8-17. On the tay compared to Richmond's 18-4. Just looking at some of the numbers from that game, if you told Chris Fagan that you'd be able to hold Dustin Martin to just 9 kicks and 7 frees against, he'd probably say, oh, yeah, I'll take that. But he ends up with 6 goals and ends up winning them the game. Just unreal. The guy, as was discussed in a previous Hardball Gets podcast on this network, the guy just can flip that switch like very few others in the game. St Kilda Dogs on Saturday afternoon or Saturday twilight is going to be a really intriguing battle, probably the most even of the finals on paper. Who's your guy here? Who's the guy who, if he goes well, he gets his team over the line? If he gets shut down, his team's going to really find it hard.
One name, 4 syllables, Bontempelli.
Nice.
I don't think you can go past him. It sounds like a pretty obvious one, but he's the superstar, isn't he? He's the one that needs to fire for the Dogs out of the middle. They've had other guys like Bailey Smith and Tom Liberatore that have been great this year. They probably need goals out of Aaron Norton as well, depending on how he goes with that facial injury. But Marcus Bontempelli, definitely the key to this one. for me, if he can go forward and kick a couple of goals as well, that'd be handy for the Dogs, and it'd also justify his selection a little bit where he got picked on half forward in the All-Australian team.
Yeah,
but he needs to get the job done in the middle and potentially push forward and kick a couple as well, and that, I think, could see the Dogs get over the line. If he doesn't fire, then St Kilda, I think, are probably favourites to win this game.
Yeah, we've seen how other teams recognise how important that is. We saw what GWS have tried to do to Bont in finals, really going after him. I like the fact that you mentioned Libba there, and there's a good piece up on AAP that you've just written about Libba and his bringing that toughness. He wasn't a part of that final series last year, and how large he looms despite his small stature ahead of Saturday. I've got a couple of guys written down here. Tim English is one that looms large, again, stature-wise, but the form line, these guys played in each other in round two, and English was towered up a bit that day by Ryder and Marshall. We've seen games this year where he really stands tall and the Dogs look a million bucks. So on that occasion, he didn't, and St Kilda won handsomely. The second guy is Zach Jones, who's not the first person that you think of when you think about St Kilda or even St Kilda's midfield. But we've seen in recent weeks the Eagles tried to tag him and shut him down, and did so quite effectively in that game a few weeks ago. That round two game that I just mentioned, he had 29 and a goal and was one of the best two or three guys on the ground. So don't be surprised if you see the Dogs throw a bit of a tag Zach Jones's way. Let's go to the final. The last of the finals, which is West Coast and Collingwood. Who's your guy here, Hopi? There's a few different ways you can go here. You've got DeGoey, you've got JK, you've got Gov. Who's caught your eye for most important here?
My key man in this one is Brody Grundy, and that's probably because I think Nick Nat's been so good this season. Yeah. And the way he's managed to work with those Eagles midfielders, one of the best engine rooms in the game, I think Brody Grundy needs a massive game. And it's not often Grundy goes into a game where he's not the main ruckman. He's normally the favourite to win that ruck battle. So he goes to Perth where Nick Nat plays so well. I think if he can manage to quell Nick Nat at least a little bit, then it gives Collingwood's midfielders the chance to get on top as well, Pendlebury and Adams, Treloar in there as well. I think Grundy needs to have a massive game for Collingwood to even have a chance. I think West Coast are overwhelming favourites on their home deck. They smashed Collingwood there earlier this year. They should have a few guys back from injury, some of those key ones like Shuey and McGovern. So with the Eagles such heavy favourites, I think it needs to start in the ruck, in the centre square, Brody Grundy against Nick Nat.
Yeah, he just looking at the stats from that game, Nick was so good at the ruck contest, but then Grundy, who's a guy you just back without even thinking about it to have more of an impact around the ground, only had 10 touches that day. Why do you think he wasn't able to have that kind of around the ground impact that he always has, despite the fact that he couldn't get on top in the contest?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure, but that's what he needs to be able to do, isn't it? To give them a chance. So if he can get around and say, you know, have his more like a 15 to 20 touches, even push forward and kick a goal and make Nick Nat accountable for him rather than letting Nick go around and do what he does both in the air and on the ground, I think that'd be a huge boost for the Pies.
Yeah, look, Josh Kennedy's my guy here. West Coast really sweating on him coming up from that injured ankle, which I think he will from all reports. But I've just been crunching some numbers for a piece that's going on the West Online pretty shortly about JK and the fact that it is really an all or nothing approach when it comes to him impacting the scoreboard. This is one for you, Hopi. So JK in finals, he's played 16 finals for West Coast, all 16 since he came over. When he hits the scoreboard, so that is goals, behinds, and provides goal assists, when he has four or more of those, West Coast are a perfect 9-0 in finals. When he doesn't, they're 0-7. They've never won a final. So there's a perfect correlation between JK hitting the scoreboard / setting up goals for other people. West Coast never lose in finals, basically, and then it's the complete opposite when he doesn't hit that benchmark. You could probably nudge that number of four down by a peg, maybe to three with the shortened games this season, but He looms larger than ever despite the fact that he's at the back end of his career heading into Saturday night.
Over? Nah. Under.
Mate, I wanted to throw a few over-unders at you before we get out of here. So this is for those who didn't listen last week. I throw a few lines at you, betting style, and you tell me which way it's going to go. So the first one of these is 1.5, 1.5 favourites losing in the opening week of finals. So the four favourites that we've got with the bookies are Port, Richmond, the Dogs and the Eagles. Over under, mate, 1.5 upsets as far as the bookies go. What do you got?
Yeah, look, I think Richmond and West Coast will probably get the job done in those games. Geelong are a huge chance to beat Port Adelaide. I'm not sure. That must be tight in the betting, is it? I haven't had a look at the actual markets, but I think Geelong are obviously a huge chance to beat Port Adelaide. And St Kilda can beat the Bulldogs, but I'd be leaning towards the Dogs. So Dogs, Richmond and West Coast. So that probably rules out the over 1.5, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you'd be taking the under there. So you think that your best underdog this weekend is Geelong. If you had to stake one, it's Geelong for you?
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You spoke about the Tom Hawkins game earlier in this season, the way the Cats just ran over Port Adelaide in that game. I know it wasn't at Adelaide Oval, and there will be 25,000 screaming Power fans there, but they're definitely my best underdog shot weekend.
I'm sort of leaning towards the over there. I agree with you about Geelong being a massive shout, and then the West Coast one, I'm with you. I'm pretty convinced that that's going to go the way of the form and the odds. But the Saints-Dogs for me is a massive coin flip. I mean, St Kilda could very, very easily win that. They finished higher. The Dogs' form line against teams above them the Dogs' form line holds pretty true. They've struggled against teams above them and they've largely taken care of business for teams below them. And I even like Brisbane here. I mean, Brisbane, if they're going to stand for something as a footy club, and it's been a long time since they won a final, they've got no better chance here. Last year was kind of a bit of a free hit for them. In the final series, they were just the fairy tale team, the Cinderella story. Whereas this year, there's some genuine expectation. The finals are on their home turf. They've got a real opportunity. So if they fire a blank this week, I'm going to be real disappointed in them. Speaking of the Lions, over under, Charlie Cameron, total finals goals for this season. So I've thought about this number and I've landed at 6.5 for the roughly where the line would be. Do you have over or under 6.5 goals for Charlie Cameron this finals?
Yeah, I'm taking under here, big time. Yep, I've looked at the stats as well. You went to school on Josh Kennedy. I've done it on Charlie Cameron. Great. This year he averages 1.53 goals a game. His finals average overall is 1.55. Last year in the finals, he averaged 1.5. He had 3 goals in the 2 games.
Yep.
His last 7 games, he's only kicked 6 goals. 6 goals, 7. So he's getting shots, but he's not converting.
Yep.
And only once has he kicked more than 2 goals in a final. He kicked 5 in the 2017 prelim when the Crows pumped Geelong. So he got plenty of chances that day. But if you look at those numbers, I think he'd need to play 4 games to actually get over the 6.5 if he stayed on that form line. So I'm going to go with the under.
Yeah. After I came up with this number, I similarly did some research and went, yes, I am with you. I'm on the under. One more I'll toss at you to support your argument there. Goals in games where he's played against the 7 other finalists this year, the 7 other clubs that have made finals, this is his goal tally this year in those games. 1-1-1-1-1-0-0. So he's kicked 5 goals against finalists in 7 games this season. Doesn't bode well when you're coming up. I mean, we know goals are harder to come by in the finals, obviously, but all eyes on Charlie Cameron to see if he can have
having
a big impact.
Having said all that, wouldn't you love to see him go nuts?
Oh, yes, indeed. Absolutely. We'd love to see him rev up the motorcycle a couple of times at least in this weekend's game. Mate, the last over-under, this is a Mike Brady one because we know the news this morning, breaking Mike Brady news, which we all want. He's going to perform up there, Cazaly, from the MCG on grand final day as a bit of a live cross and a bit of a, hey, G, how you going? He's previously been reluctant to go down the October route for the one day in September. The over-under here is 0.5 times Mike Brady will sing one day in October in grand final week. Are you taking the over? Do you think he'll get around it, or do you think he's just going to park that song for this year and just write it off and go, nope, I'm not touching the classic?
No, I think I'm going to go with the over because I think he needs a new trick. He's been pumping up these two songs for a very long time, so a little tweak of it to throw out one day in October, and he might even give us a couple of extra lines to rhyme with it as well. But he needs something different to really freshen it up, Mike Brady, so I'm going the overs.
It's been a while since he was fresh. It's been a long while since he was fresh. Do you have any suggestions off the top of your head about what he could rhyme one day in October with? Unlikely to be sober?
Goodness me, sober's the first thing that jumps out at you, isn't it? I can't even think of anything else that rhymes with it.
You and I will both be working that day, but if any of our mates are anything to go by, one day in October unlikely to be sober is probably about right, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty late start, the grand final this year in WA, so they'll have a decent launching pad, won't they?
Yes, absolutely. Mates, we got to let you get out of here because you are a busy man over there in the hub. We really appreciate you taking the time, stepping away from AAP and having a bit of a chat to us this time, and we'd love to do it again soon. Hope you go well over there.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Stay tuned to the Hardball Gets Network. Zave and Dill back Tuesday and the 2-minute warning back on Thursday. Thanks again to the brand new Mazda BT50 with its class-leading design and more technology than ever before. The brand new Mazda BT50 is the complete package. We look forward to being back in your ears then.